It's here and now. So that's three words, here and now. What if you could make sense of life in three other words, lost and found? That's the title of a memoir from Pulitzer-winning writer Catherine Schultz. It takes the idea of lost and found, which sounds really simple, to explore realities of life and death that are complex, profound, and often poignant. Lost and Found was on the long list for last year's National Book Award for Nonfiction. In March, she joined Scott Tong to talk about the book.
The first section of your book is called Lost, about the death and therefore the loss of your father. And as you write, he was this outsized character. You write that he could discuss the novels of Edith Wharton, the nature of cosmic background radiation, the infield fly rule, the lingering impact of the 1947 Taft-Hartley Act, and the merits of apple cobblers. Great writing. And you write that the phrase, I lost my father, is not a euphemism. It's an apt way to say it. How so?
For me, I wasn't comforted by this kind of language of passed away or gone home or these very gentle things that people often say with the best of intentions. But I did find myself responding really strongly to this idea of loss. And, you know, we've all had the kind of trivial version of loss. You bring the mail in from the house and you set it down in the kitchen and you walk away to do one thing and you come back and it's nowhere to be found, right? And you never do turn it up. And it's like tiny, but it's one of life's great mysteries. And on a very different scale, that's how the loss of my father felt. You know, he was there and then he wasn't.
And after his death, you started keeping a list of the other things you had lost. Yeah, why did you do that?
I think because I got really interested in this category of loss. It's a very strange category when you think about it, because my father does belong in it, but so does that pile of mail I never found, and so does one half of a pair of socks. And that's weird, right? You know, and I started wondering, well, what do these things have in common, and why do we use the same language for them? And can we actually learn something from that? Because it does seem to me that loss is part of what shapes our life, and it happens at every scale. I began working on this book and, in fact, finished the vast majority of it before the pandemic started. So it was really interesting to watch as the themes in it came to dominate everyone's life. Talking about the weirdness of the category of loss, right? I mean, there was this obvious and tragic loss, which was just the sheer loss of life. But we also, all of us, were losing things we didn't even think we could lose. You know, the ability to go to the grocery store without worrying. Who knew that was on the list of possible losses?
Yeah, or the ability to see our siblings, to drive somewhere.
Exactly. To send our children to school.
Well, as you write, grief brings us to our knees, but so does love. Which brings us to your chapter that you call Found, about you finding the person who became your wife right as your father's health was fading. There is this magic that we all feel about finding. When I read that, I thought about my oldest son. He dives into the ocean and he comes out with the sand dollar. And he comes back from the soccer field with a brand new bike. He just finds things, big and small. So what is it about finding that's so powerful?
You know, it's so interesting. I've been thinking about this, obviously, for a long time, and I'll tell a quick story to try to illustrate it. A couple of years ago, I wandered into a junk shop. You know, it's full of, like, old latex paint cans and bunches of license plates and this kind of thing. And there was one skinny little bookshelf in it, and I walked over to it, and I pulled a book off the shelf. And it turned out to be the first edition of this volume of poetry. And I open it to the title page, and it's very beautifully inscribed and signed by the author. And the author was Langston Hughes.
Yeah, right.
and so, right, what's happening? Like, I've thought a lot about what does it feel like in that moment, right? No matter what your cosmology is, whatever you believe about the universe, what you feel in that moment is that the cosmos has kind of just dropped this gift in your lap, you know, for no reason. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. And it expands your sense of possibility and your sense of hope and your sense of faith, which is, of course, exactly how it feels to fall in love, too.
Because of this cosmic improbability that you write about.
It's sort of the beautiful and reassuring version of loss. You know, the universe takes things away from us, but it also does sometimes give them to us.
Well, in the case of your partner, who's now your wife, you ask, how do you know you found something if you didn't know what you were looking for? So what's your answer?
Well, I mean, this is a deep and interesting problem, right? And it's a really troubling problem for people who are still looking for love. And it's one thing to go looking for that wallet you lost, right? Or for the other half of the, you know, missing pair of socks. You know exactly, like, okay, it's blue, it's calf length or whatever. But there are these circumstances in life, love being one of the most momentous of them, where you're desperately looking for something, but you have no idea what it looks like, right? How could you? Mm-hmm. You know, or worse still, you have an idea. You have painted some kind of fairy tale picture in your head, which just sets you up to not notice love, right, when it's in front of you. It does create a real problem, you know. I think that anyone who's ever tried to find love online knows that even specifying down to the last possible detail what it is you think you want does not guarantee that you aren't going to go on a lot of terrible dates, right? To be honest, before I met my partner, if you had given me pen and paper and 10,000 years and told me to dream up who I thought I would fall in love with, I would never have described her, right? Mm. Because all of us are totally bespoke and unique. And that's the beautiful thing about love. Actually, you can't really recognize it before you find it.
Well, let's move into the final and maybe the most unexpected chapter of your book. And it's about a very small word, the word and. Yet there's an enormity to it. And I want to ask you about this history lesson you give us, that when the English alphabet was first written, it didn't end with Z. It actually ended with the word and.
It did. I mean, specifically, it ended with the character ampersand. This is all the way up until the early 20th century.
Well, the and has a certain power of it, as you write, that it connects things that would not have been connected. Talk a little about that.
That's absolutely right. And you're absolutely right to describe this last little section of the book as probably the strangest part. But it's actually also about one of the most common parts of everyday life, which is this sort of emotional experience of and, of things that are connected just by the fact of occurring together or near one another and not by any emotional logic. We all live with this all the time, right? I mean, maybe you can barely stand to be in the same room as your ex-husband, but you love beyond description the children you would not have if you hadn't married him, you know, or maybe you adore your parents, but you have wildly different politics and can barely get through a dinner with them anymore. We all of us live with this kind of emotional conjunction all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was very much on my mind because I did have the experience of finding my partner and losing my father in very quick succession. Which, of course, just brought home this reality, which is we would all like to just keep our love and our grief separate, you know, in their tidy little silverware compartments or what have you. Mm. But that's not how life works, right? They're just all jumbled there together on our kind of emotional kitchen floor. And we love and we grieve at the same time, and we laugh and we cry at the same time. And it's such a common experience, but not one that we often kind of step back and really look at as a fundamental way that we experience life.
I just finally want to read one passage that I highlighted, and it's about both being true at the same time. You write, "The first problem that love presents us with is how to find it. But the most enduring problem of love, which is also the most enduring problem of life, is how to live with the fact that we will lose it." Why do you leave that for us at the end of your book?
Well, first of all, I should say that that's not the actual end of the book. I think we moved to somewhere significantly more uplifting. But, you know, I write that because I believe in it. I think that, you know, you and I were just talking about this kind of tricky thing of like, well, how do you find love when you have no idea what you're looking for, right? And that's a deep problem of life. But at some point, if you're lucky, you find it. But if you're like me and wired to worry about the people you love, you are left to face the fact that that will not always be the case. How do you make your peace with that? You know, how do you continue to love in abundance and to feel gratitude in abundance when you know you're going to lose it all?
Well, let's, Catherine, finish with that note of hope that you finished the book with. What is it about the concept of and that comforts you and gives you hope for the future?
You know, I think it's that it unites our grief with our love. We only grieve people because we love them. We grieve them in proportion to how much we loved them. And when we're in love, I think the knowledge that what we have is fleeting is the thing in life that prods us to be attentive and to take care of the world and the people we love within it to the best of our abilities, and to remember that it is fragile and our job is to cherish it while we have it and to take the best possible care of it that we can.
Catherine Schultz has a new memoir, Lost and Found. Catherine, it's a provocative read. It's a great read. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.